Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. I have come to admire greatly the intelligence as well as the commitment to public service of our first guest. He is Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. He has been for many years involved with intelligence analysis and policy application. In successive roles in the United States Congress, he was also before that an analyst with the Central Intelligence Agency. Dr. Pry has been perhaps best known, however, for his long and dedicated service to a commission the Congress established to provide a second opinion, a detailed understanding of the threat arising to our nation from electromagnetic pulse. This EMP threat commission is now, I am devastated to report, about to expire, and with it the end of some 17 years of warnings and profoundly important recommendations about the threat we're facing to our electric grid, most especially. We're delighted to have Dr. Pry with us to talk a bit about the nature of this EMP threat and what must be done about it at this moment. Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, thank you so much for joining us again. It's good to talk with you.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
So very quickly, Peter, just a 101 introduction to our audience, though I think most of them are pretty familiar with this phenomenon. But what is electromagnetic pulse? How could it be inflicted upon this country and with what effects?
Yeah, an EMP can be caused by nature, by a solar storm from the sun, you know, which could generate an EMP, which is akin to a super energetic radio wave with enough energy in it to destroy electronics within the EMP field. In the case of a geomagnetic superstorm like the 1859 Carrington event, it would affect the whole world and cause the collapse of electric grids and electronics everywhere in the world. In the case of a nuclear weapon from terrorists or a rogue state like North Korea that has just recently tested a hydrogen bomb that they describe as a dial-a-yield type weapon that has a setting for super EMP, you know, you could affect all of North America with a single such weapon that was the collapse of the electric grid, which is our biggest concern. And, you know, because if we had a blackout which lasted a year or even months, you could lose millions of Americans. The EMP Commission has estimated up to 9 of 10 Americans to die in a nationwide blackout that lasted 1 year, starvation and societal collapse.
It's just unimaginably awful. But Peter Pry, when you look at what has been warned about by the commission for these 17 or so years, what has been the response of the federal government and the electric utilities to these warnings? Have your recommendations as a commission been adopted? And if so, are we now better equipped to contend with these sorts of threat?
There's a real dichotomy here, Frank. You know, the Department of Defense takes the EMP threat seriously. Even the Obama administration spent nearly $1 billion further hardening NORAD headquarters at Cheyenne Mountain and other command and control links against the possibility of a nuclear EMP threat from North Korea. But when it comes to the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Energy, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, those organizations responsible for protecting the electric grid and our civilian critical infrastructures, they act as if EMP is merely a theoretical threat, that it isn't proven, that we need to do more studies on it to see whether it's a threat, as if all that data, over 50 years of experience, testing, and from the Department of Defense, doesn't exist. In part, the DOD is to be blamed for this because Dr. Graham, the chairman of the commission, has criticized them as recently as yesterday for sitting on and keeping classified a lot of the data on EMP. But there should be no excuse to apply a little common sense from the Department of Homeland Security, NERC, and FERC, and all these other guys because they can know just from newspaper reports that the Department of Defense does harden systems against EMP. They know it's a real threat. We wouldn't be spending billions of dollars on EMP protection of our military system if it wasn't a real threat.
And Peter, you've mentioned that particularly there is a present danger from North Korea. You and oftentimes your colleague and my friend Jim Woolsey have been writing about the capabilities that the North Koreans may have, not just to lob a nuclear weapon over our country via a ballistic missile, but perhaps to use satellites, two of which they have orbiting the Earth as we speak, to unleash this kind of electromagnetic devastation on our country. Talk quickly about the danger that you and the commission have been particularly seized with from that country.
Yeah, we're very concerned, more concerned with the satellite threat than we are with North Korea's possession of intercontinental ballistic missiles. You know, the satellites are currently in orbit. They've got two of them, the KMS-2 and KMS-3, that are orbiting on an optimum trajectory to evade our national missile defenses coming up from the south and put an EMP field over North America if they were nuclear armed. We don't know if they're nuclear armed or not, but it's strange that they're on that particular trajectory, a trajectory the Soviet Union had planned during the Cold War to make a surprise nuclear EMP attack, and at the right altitude for doing that and the right trajectory for doing that. And we know the North Koreans know about EMP. They incorporated it in their war plans. It's really the only way for them to possibly win a war with the United States doing an EMP attack, because if they were to blast a city or something like that, we would turn them into a plate of glass. But EMP, we might not even know they did it if they did it by satellite, you know, because one of the first things it does is it takes out the radars and our other national technical means for ascertaining, well, where did that blast come from? Who attacked us?
Including satellites.
Yeah, and there's hundreds of satellites in low Earth orbit, you know.
Peter Pry, let me just ask you specifically on this question of what the commission has learned about collaboration between the old Soviet Union's weaponeers and those that are now building the kinds of threats you've talked about in North Korea. This is, as they say in the old Soviet Union, no accident, comrade. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. In 2004, the commission was demarched by two Russian generals and EMP experts, a couple of their top EMP experts, to warn us. Supposedly, the visit was for the purpose of a friendly warning that the design information for a super EMP nuclear weapon had accidentally leaked from Russia to North Korea, and that there were Russian scientists working on the North Korean nuclear and missile program. But it wasn't because the Russian government wanted them to. It was because it was brain drain, because the economy was bad and they had to find work somewhere.
Another accident. Yeah, it seems unlikely. Peter, against this backdrop, where there is clearly a great and growing danger to our country from a threat that you and your colleagues, led by Dr. William Graham, have been warning of for almost two decades, the commission is being dismantled. This is simply unimaginable to me. There's talk about having a new one created that will be like all of the other politically developed commissions to presumably come up with political judgments rather than technical ones. I have been championing, as I think you have, the idea of having President Trump create this commission as a presidential commission. Talk very quickly, if you would, about the need for doing that.
I think it's a vital need for there to be an executive level, something in the White House close to the president, because the problem is so big, it cuts across all of the critical infrastructures, including the military, and there's no single department or agency that can manage it. It's an executive level White House kind of a job. And indeed, President Reagan understood that, because he had originally set up in the White House something called the National Communications System, which was to harden, you know, across all government communications for federal and executive levels. This would basically be the same thing, bring back what Ronald Reagan had originally envisioned, and which, by the way, was canceled by President Obama by executive order.
Surprise, surprise, part of the wrecking operation. Peter Pry, I just want to say personally, and I think on behalf of certainly our audience and many, many others besides, thank you. to you and to your colleagues on the EMP Threat Commission for your service. I hope it will continue, but I want you to know that your leadership, your clarity about this threat, and all that you have striven to do to enable us to defend ourselves against it is of the utmost importance. I hope you'll keep it up, and I hope you'll come back to us to talk about it more in the near future. Next up, Peter Husey joins us. We'll talk about regime change in North Korea, whether that may be the answer, in part, to the threat we're now facing from that quarter. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.